I am a king, for this came I into the world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We have come this Christ the King feast to consider the last of the 15 decades of the Rosary, the series of sermons begun on Ascension Thursday last May, now draws to a close with a consideration of the crowning with thorns, the third sorrowful mystery. This past week, I was at our seminary in Florida, preaching to the seminarians about the true devotion, the secret of Mary, of St. Louis de Montfort. One day, reading the Rosary Meditations for the seminarians, the Rosary Meditations of St. Louis de Montfort, for this mystery, I came across a petition which struck me, and I've been thinking about it ever since. He says we should pray this way, St. Louis does. We ask, through the intercession of thy Blessed Mother, a great contempt of the world. Contempt for the world. Not do we ask to work out a compromise with the world to promote some political aim for the common good. Not to cajole the world to be less bloody and less bad. Not even do we pray in this mystery to convert the world to Christ the King, but contempt. We ask for contempt for this world. For this, the crowning with thorns, is the mystery of contempt. Having flayed our Lord at the pillar, the soldiers clothed him again in his own garment, the seamless tunic his mother had woven for him, and led him, the Syrian mercenaries did, who worked for Rome, back to the praetorium of Pontius Pilate. And there, the whole cohort, some 500 men, were summoned before him in order to rail against his kingship, whose rumors even the Syrians had heard about. He was stripped again, and they took an old cloak of a centurion who commands these 500 men. It is red-purple in color, the color of royalty, of imperial power. The centurion wore that cloak when he escorted every procession of Jews to execution. Thus, in today's last gospel, the Jews were shocked that our Lord would go down to the house of and cure the son of a centurion. Well, this man's square red cloak, dirty now and cast off, is put on our Lord's already red and purpled with blood shoulders. And some soldiers, to amuse themselves, have taken an old basket woven of reed and have filled it with thorn branches, which were kept as kindling wood for the fire in the courtyard. And someone else took some of those branches of thorns and put them amongst the reeds on the outside of the basket, forming, as it were, spikes. And then they sat him down on an old pillar, and they shoved the basket full of thorns on our Savior's head. It was chosen, this crown was, to resemble not only the crown of a Middle Eastern tyrant, but also the head covering of a priest in the temple about his sacred business. And this same crown or head covering is at the origin of the cap, the beretta, the priest or bishop wears at times, as well as the threefold crown of all power that was carried and worn by true popes for so many centuries. They shove this contraption down over the crown of Christ's head. His scalp bleeds profusely. Thorns pierce his ears and his eyes. And they take an old reed to serve for a scepter, but before they jam it in his arms, bound together with chains, they hit him over the head with it and all about his face, which had hitherto been spared in the scourging. And then they pretend to genuflect before him, and they mock him, and they spit upon him. "Hail, King of the Jews!" they cry out. And so, added to the profound physical pain, this man, who is almost dead from the scourging, now his face dampened with a shower of blood from his scalp and head, now his heart is pierced with thorns, with the thorns of contempt. The poet Crashaw asks, "Are nails blunt pens of superficial smart? Contempt and scorn can send sure wounds to search the inmost heart." Thus is our Lord covered with contempt, even as he is with wounds and blood. And the people, Pilate takes him out to the balcony now, with his purple cloak and his crown of thorns, his great basket, made to look a perfect fool of a king on his head. And the people, Pilate tells them, "Ecce rex vester, behold, your king," the words dripping with sarcasm. But they respond, "We have no king but Caesar. Take him away. Crucify him." And our Blessed Lady, who is at the back of the crowd in the courtyard, when she sees her son and king, she kneels down, never mind the hateful snares and stares of the Jews. And St. John kneels with her and the holy women, and thus they make some reparation to our Savior. Now, this crown put on his head, St. Vincent of Lerins tells us, this crown is in the shape of a Phrygian cap or a freedman's cap. Later on, it would be taken during the French Revolution as the personification of godless freedom, the modern idea of liberty. And under the same guise, it would appear on American coins with exactly the same Masonic symbolism. Our Lord then makes a reparation for these affronts against authority, which comes from God alone. But there is more. The cap, as I say, the crown of thorns, resembles the head covering of a priest or even of a pope. And here, too, our Lord sees his high priesthood mocked, and he makes reparation. "Behold your king. Behold your priest, king." Now, what was done in such a spirit of contempt at about 9 o'clock on a cold Friday morning just before Passover in Jerusalem, that Good Friday, is still being done this sunny last Sunday in October, some 10 days before the election is held. Christ is still being crowned with thorns in his head and in his members. He is crowned with contempt for his kingship, for his commandments, for his church, for the unchangeable natural law written upon the heart of every man, contempt for truth itself. You are the members of Christ's body. You too are treated contumeliously and with contempt. They lie to us year after year and election after election. The head is crowned with thorns, as it were, as if to block us and keep us from using the reasoning process Almighty God gave us. And thus, we in the crowd are cajoled to go along, obligated, we feel, to play our part in this mockery, in this ritual crowning with thorns, like the soldiers in the praetorium. So it is today. I have come to bear witness to the truth, Christ tells Pilate. Quidus veritas, what is the truth? Come now, dear members of Christ's body, you know, surely, yes, you know the truth. You know, first of all, that the great enemies of the kingship of Christ, of the order and the peace he alone can bring to the world, he alone can bring to the world, are the organized forces of naturalism. Father Fahey explains it to us. Who are they? They are the Jewish nation, and they are the secret societies, the Masons. They promote naturalism, which means that man can achieve his end or purpose in being, a pretty good life, without any necessary reference to the supernatural revelation of God or of his church. Be careful. The naturalists do not believe in the natural law. Their principles, the principles that have been going since well before the French Revolution, are that of a false liberty, which is license, which leads in its anarchy to an all-powerful totalitarian state. And we look to the state to solve our every problem. And we give over everything we have to this burgeoning bureaucracy, our money and our liberty and our honor, and even our immortal souls. These principles are opposed to Christ the King, and they always have been. Never mind the revolution which promoted them. Even if these principles were good and not evil, every one of our politicians and every single major means of the media, the newspapers and the magazines and television and radio, were bought and paid for a long time ago. Surely come now. This is only common sense. The organized forces of naturalism, they tell them what to say and what to do. And they would dearly like you to take them seriously. I remember talking to a lady who lives in Cincinnati, who is a traditional Catholic and very much involved in Republican politics. It was about 20 years ago, the house of that dear lady who used to be in charge of our gift shop, Jerry Gilker, in Loveland, and that we were at some little gathering or another, and this lady told me about her work for such and such to be elected to some Republican office, and I said to her, "But do you really take that seriously? Do you believe that actually that would make a difference?" "Oh, yes." And still she does, to this very day. But they're bought. They're paid for. My dear friends, the way you were purchased and paid for by Christ and by his blood, the way they belong to them is the way we ought to belong, head as well as heart and knees, to our King. Jesus is crowned with thorns and treated with contempt by lies, the same lies, the lies that they trot out every 4 years, kind of like a plastic bone. It's covered with dirt. They dust it off and throw it out again. And how many will jump and consider themselves well pleased and honored in the process? For a long time now, they haven't had to come up with a new bone, because if you want to energize the base, as they cynically say, you dust off the pro-life bone and you cast it in the backyard and watch the dogs go after it. They want your vote, if even votes count or are counted anymore. Lies, cold, contemptuous lies. Why, Mrs. McCain even told Katie Couric, and it was on TV, so we know it must be true, right? That's how we get our information, from TV and the papers, I think. She told Katie Couric that her husband really was in favor of Roe versus Wade, and not only just for the hard cases, as he claims. And the other one, why, he's for the open slaughter of any and all babies. But then, two sides of the same coin. In the hard cases, well, yes, you'd have to kill them, after all. Oh, and certainly the ones that are abominably conceived against nature and God in petri dishes and laboratories, why, they could be killed too, yes. They could be killed too. This is nothing new. You have heard this all before. The principles, the understanding. Some of you have gray hairs on your head. What's going on upstairs? Are you even thinking? Or are you too busy jumping after the bone? It is unworthy of you. It is unworthy. And some of you are young enough, surely, and bold enough to question the establishment of all of these Antichrist lies. And if you will not, you will be again mesmerized by the media. They will get you to take them seriously, and they will have won once again, because you've taken the bait. Did you ever read the old Charlie Brown Peanuts cartoons in the autumn of the year? Each year, Charlie Brown falls literally flat on his face because he believes little Lucy's promise that she won't move the football. But each time she does, and there he falls, year after year. Far more seriously, you take part in the ritual mockery of Christ the King, which we call an election. Contempt is what the organized forces of naturalism show year after year for Christ, whom they crown with thorns, piercing thorns in his head, but also in his members. Contempt is what we must show this world in return. Steel yourself. For God's sake, turn off that television set, or is it already too late for your brains and your souls? And get down on your knees. You pray that decade over and over again of the third sorrowful mystery, until the clouds part and you see things as truly they are, lest you should end up bending your knee to some potential Antichrist already in our midst. What will you do? What will your cry be 10 days from now? We have no king but Caesar. May Christ our King have mercy upon us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.